ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Nunez's hands are down, and she's walking Ronda down. She tags her again.
Over and over. Amanda Nunez.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
If I can't teach you one way, I'll teach you another. But I'm going to get the job done.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, coming to you from the Sports Byline Studios in the City by the Bay, San Francisco, California. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, often imitated, but never duplicated. Straight up, my name is Pedro Fernandez. I'm your host, also an award-winning writer and four-time Golden Glove champion. This hour of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, of course, this is hour number two of the Sunday edition. We come to you for 2 hours on Sunday at 11 a.m. Pacific time or 2 p.m. Eastern time, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, and of course, a plethora of other internet platforms, both live and delayed. Bottom line, this hour we're going to rock with boxing's PhD. I'm talking about Socrates Palmer. We'll bring in Richard Sloan. Who is he? He and Joe Frazier, like, joined at the hip. You know, I'm not a big Joe Frazier guy. In other words, I appreciate his talents, but, you know, he drank around me, and I sort of like, I'm down on alcoholics. Why am I down on alcoholics? Both my mother and father were alcoholics. That's why I'm down on alcoholics. Anyway, bottom line is, every time I seemed to get together with Joe, after his fighting days were over, he was drunk and had an attitude. I mean, especially up there at the International Boxing Hall of Fame. So to paint a different perspective of Joe Frazier, we'll bring in Richard Sloan in about 40 minutes past the hour. Of course, he was Joe Frazier's right hand for a long time. So we'll bring in him. We'll talk Joe Frazier at 40 minutes past the hour. We've got some UFC news, Tyson Fury, of course, and Anthony Joshua going to hook it up for the World Heavyweight Championship. That and more today on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Once again, open phone lines all around the planet. You can join us if you'd like. Live, 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Or get us on the guilt-free no-commitment text line. You can text the studios. What's the number? 415-275-1613. The text line, once again, 415-275-1613. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
You're listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC, right here on Sports Byline.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! The heavyweight champion is taking the mandatory eight count, and Foreman is as poised as can be!
TV cameras moving about here. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Somebody shot me a text. This is my Kronk jacket. This is the Kronk Gym, of course, in Detroit, Michigan. Of course, founded and run by the late gold father. I'm talking about Emmanuel Stewart. And, you know, I think about my Kronk colors, this and that. And somebody sent me, you can't buy this. But the bottom line is, I remember the Kronk Gym. I remember in February of 1993, we went down there and it was like 18 degrees outside. There was snow. We had to, you know, it was terrible. Troy was terrible. But yet in the gym was 103 degrees. It was like over 90. I kid you not. He always had that gym fired up. Everybody was sweating down there. That's why those guys stayed so lean. Of course, talk about Emmanuel Stewart. And of course, Kronk colors, Detroit, Michigan, reminds me of that time when Emmanuel said to me, you know, Pedro, you're going to be doing Aretha Franklin tonight. I mean, I said, what do you mean I'm going to be doing Aretha Franklin? He goes, you're going to be introducing Aretha Franklin tonight. I said, cool. I said, where at? He said, well, you know, he goes, we're going to do this thing. And I said, Palace? I said, yeah. I said, you know, I said, not going to the private party? He said, no, we're going to do this at the event. I said, okay, cool. So, you know, we get to the event and it's at the Palace, this and that. And, you know, Aretha Franklin arrives and she's like large. She's very, very big. And I say to myself, there's no way I can get her in the ring to sing the national anthem. Not as big as she is. There's no way, no how. Absolutely none. Okay. So I'm freaking out because, I mean, I don't want to embarrass the Queen of Soul. I mean, I just don't. I don't know what to do. So I go to Emmanuel and I start to run it by him. And he says, like, gives me a couple of F-bombs and this, and it tells me to, you know, basically do your job. Oh, man. Anyway, pressure of the show. So I go back to ringside. I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, the national anthem's going to come before the main event. So I'm going through these hobo fights, these 4 and these 6 round fights waiting on the main event. And you know, that's when the nerves are going to start to hit. How am I going to do this? So anyway, I realized at the last minute I was going to like freak out. I didn't know what I was going to do. I got the light man, the guy with the spotlight. I said, went up to him. I said, you see where that lady is standing right there? She goes, yeah. I said, you're going to shine the spotlight right on that spot when I tell you. He goes, yeah. And I go, Aretha Franklin's going to have a microphone right there, and she's going to sing the national anthem. So anyway, it went off just like that. Bang. Fantastic. So the next time we do Aretha Franklin, we're doing a fight in Cobo Hall in Detroit, Michigan, which is a smaller arena in downtown Detroit. Emmanuel says to me, hey, Pedro, somebody's coming to the show tonight that likes you. And I said, yeah? And he said, yeah. I said, well, tell me, who is it? And he wouldn't tell me. He goes, but she likes you, Pedro. And I'm saying to myself, oh, who is this man? Who's coming to the fight? So, you know, I think I was tuxed out that night. So I made sure I was like super sharp, absolute super sharp. So we're in the green room, which I call it the green room. Sorry, everybody's having, water and stuff like that. No booze, water and stuff like that before the show. Show hasn't started yet. And in walks Aretha Franklin. And she says to me, hi, Pedro. And I went, oh, this is it. Aretha Franklin, I can't believe it. The second time, she said to me, how are you? I said, fine. She goes, you know, you did a good job introducing me the last time, blah, blah, blah. I said, yeah. I said, that was very nerve-wracking, and I'm nervous now. And she was a lot slimmer at this point in time, so we can, like, get her right in the ring. It wasn't a problem. So she sung the national anthem, and we spent time at a party afterwards, and she was just a classy lady to be around. May she rest in peace. Let's talk about the great Aretha Franklin. Now, last night, let's talk about the UFC real quick, because you know I'm not spending a whole lot of time on this, but we will for a second. A guy named Cyril Gane won the main event last night. It was a heavyweight main event against Jasmiel Rozenek. It was a unanimous nod across the board. He won every round. And guess what? Every fight on the UFC card last night, 9 fights, 8 of them went to decision. Oh! I mean, this is what they're supposed to be about. Like, you know, all that crazy chokeholds and knocking people out, that kind of good stuff. But if you're into that, if you're into the butt, you didn't get a whole lot last night. Or, you saw guys taking a licking way too long. That's what's wrong with the UFC, is that you see guys getting beat on way too long. In other words, if a guy's taking a licking, and you know he can't win the fight, it's time to stop the fight. When the competition stops, the fight stops. Much like Bruce the Mouse Strauss. He had like 100 fights. He never got hurt. Why did he never got hurt? Because when the fight was uncompetitive, he found a place to go on the arena, floor. I'm not talking about taking a dive, but cornermen, especially in UFC, they've got to be willing to surrender for their fighters because the fighter's not going to surrender. And the cornerman doesn't surrender. So what happens? Then it lays on the doctor. And the doctor is like reading the newspaper during the fight in some of these UFC fights. I mean, if you can't see guys staggered and semi-concussed and then concussed and having them fight on in a concussed state or a semi-concussed state, you know, you're lagging as far as medical professionals are concerned. So I think that safety comes before entertainment. And if you get entertained by people watching them getting their brains scrambled, I mean like scrambled, I'm not talking about a clean knockout, bang, one punch or maybe a TKO or you get hit with a body shot like I did a few guys. Never got dropped with a body shot myself. Never, 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 ever. Thank goodness. But, I mean, if you get beat, you get beat. But, you know, in the world of the UFC, if you get beat and destroyed, you can't come back and fight again. And that's what the bottom line is with the UFC. And I think that's the reason why they do that, is they keep these guys in these death matches after death matches. And the reason why they do that is that they never have to pay these guys. In other words, if I put Scott Cuddy in 5 death matches, you know, he may win the first 4, but odds are he's not going to win all these death matches. In other words, put in life and death, at time and time again, these hard fights where he takes a beating, plus he takes a beating in training. The bottom line is, win or lose, he's not going to be together. In other words, the residual effects of combat sports, especially that type of combat sports, will have taken their effect, okay? And then, of course, you're done. In other words, you've got this short window in the UFC. Talk about a short window in boxing. I think in the world of the NFL, you have a 4.5-year, it's a 4.5, 4.5-year window, I think, in the NFL as far as players are concerned. Well, guess what? Boxing, at the top of the upper echelon of the game, It's a lot less than that. So I guess you got to take your shots, especially with in combat sports as well. Bottom line is, I think the UFC is a little rough. Outside of that one main event there last night, I can't see anybody else on the card outside of Pedro Munhoz beat Jimmy Rivera over unanimous nod last night in a bantamweight, about 135 pounds. Outside of that, no big names on the card. Of course, UFC going to look forward to this heavyweight title fight they got coming up. I'm talking about Francis Ngannou, the monster. Yes, he is a monster. He's like 6'4", 260 pounds. He is like the most frightening guy in the entire world of combat sports. In fact, I kid you not, he could possibly cross over and do professional boxing. And why do I say that? Because he's been a professional boxer before he was an MMA guy. So if Ngannou can get over Stipe Miocic, and they're going to hook it up for the World Heavyweight Championship March the 27th at the UFC Apex in Las Vegas on pay-per-view, I think it's a UFC 260, and I think he will. I think the sky is just unlimited. And speaking of unlimited, at one point in time, the guy fighting in the co-feature had unlimited potential. He was a superstar, a guy that I thought was going to be like a god in the world of mixed martial arts. He was pretty. He could talk well. He spoke Spanish and English. He was in East LA. I mean, the kid had all these attributes, you could just dump accolades all over Brian Ortega. You just could. In and out of the octagon, whether he was fighting or whether he wasn't. I mean, he set up charity foundations and things like that for poor people. I mean, the kid's just got it going on. The kid's just really a solid kid. Anyway, they put him in that fight with Max Holloway, then the UFC 145-pound champion, and they let him take a beating. They let him take a licking. I mean, he took a beating. He looked like somebody hit him with a brick. Have you ever been hit with a brick? No. This guy was hit with a brick. Not once, not twice, but repeatedly. And they kept it going. And I was at home screaming on the TV. I think I was watching it on the bootleg video. I don't think I've ever paid for a UFC event. Did I just admit to stealing something online? I didn't. Anyway, I think I watched this on the bootleg video, or maybe it was on YouTube afterwards. That was probably what it was. Anyway, and Max Holloway's killing him, and he's hitting him with a hammer. It was just time and time and time again. And I'm saying, stop the fight, stop the fight. And nobody's listening to me through the TV set. They can't hear me, okay? And this guy's taking what I think is a career-ending beating. I mean, he was taking a licking so bad, I turned away from the TV and left the room. And that's how bad the beating was. And I knew Brian. I met Brian Ortega once or twice, of course, at different UFC events early on. And he's, as I said, a classy kid, good young man. But that fight with Max Holloway, I think that not only took years off his MMA career, but it took years off his life in general. I kid you not. That's how bad the beating was. Anyway, he's going to come back. What is he like? 14-1 now. Let's set one fight to Mr. Holloway. He's going to come back and take on Alexander Volkanovski, who beat Max Holloway for the title the first time, and then they had a rematch, and Volkanovski lost, and they gave him the title anyway. You know, a little smelly decision there, but Brian Ortega and Alexander Volkanovski going to hook it up at 145 pounds in this co-feature of UFC 260. And I will say this about Brian Ortega. I don't want to say it. Anyway, I wish him the very best of luck. And the welterweight bout on the same card, this main card, Tyrone Woodley, the former champion, of course, at 170 pounds, going to take on Vicente Luque. I know nothing about Luque. And Sean O'Malley to take on Thomas Almeida. Of course, that's going to be on the main card. ESPN Plus has got a couple of fights on that card, and UFC Fight Pass. Of course, that all starts about 2:30 p.m. on March 27th. That's Saturday, March 27th, 2021. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA come to you live on WBC TV, aka Twitch.tv, Sports Byline USA channel. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to the longest running fight show industry, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. I hope I've entertained you, maybe informed you, maybe even irritated you. If I've done one of the three, or maybe two of the three, I've done my job. Stay tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. The PhD of boxing, Socrates Palmer, the kid from the Bronx, after the break.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline.
Check it. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, 26 and a half minutes past the hour. Hour number two, of course, Ring Talk Live Worldwide comes to you 2 hours on Sunday at 11 a.m. Pacific time for 2 hours or 2 p.m. Eastern time. Or get this, from my folks in Honolulu, Hawaii, they get up at 8 o'clock in the morning to listen to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. So, Leo, I want to give you props and thank you so much for tuning in. Of course, all you people, the fact that you listen to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and not doing something else in a world where you can be doing a million and more things, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. You are tuned to the longest running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. And a little flip side to Aretha Franklin and Emmanuel Stewart telling me that somebody likes you is going to be at the fights tonight. Harold Smith said the same thing, and some gay dude name showed up by the name of Guy, and that was a little weird, and Harold knew he was messing with me. The bottom line is, it goes both ways. You are tuned to Ring Talk. I don't. That went both ways. You were too. The ring. Yeah, let me set that straight. Anyway, time to bring in boxing's PhD. I'm talking about Socrates Palmer. How's Sebastian doing? I think I heard him talking in the background there.
Yeah. He's a little feisty right now. It's lunchtime, so.
Okay.
But he's good.
I've had problems with Chinese heavyweights. I told you that story. Should Chinese heavyweights be arrested for impersonating fighters?
Well, maybe not just heavyweights, because, you know, we remember Top Rank's a golden boy, a parent that fizzled out fast, Zhu Ximing. The Big Bang Fang, I think that's his nickname.
Imagine this, you're 6 foot seven. Again, if I was 6 foot seven, I would have never lost a fight in my life.
Yeah, you'd have a big advantage of a lot of people. He looked great for the first two rounds, and then after the third round, it was like there was nothing left, and they gave him a gift draw. You know, credit to Mr. Forrest, who kept, you know, plugging away. I like his team. Sean George, who's his trainer, a very good standout amateur fighter from New Jersey and a decent light heavyweight. Conditioning has to be something that must be addressed. I hope there's a rematch. Because, I mean, how do you go forward with, trying to convince the public that this guy's a legit heavyweight contender? You got to get a rematch, and he obviously has to impress. Because last night, it was not an impressive performance.
Oh, okay, I'm going to run something at you that an old-timer told me one time, okay? And maybe you can understand what I'm trying to say. You cannot make chicken soup out of chicken spit. And they usually say spit with an H.
So you're saying it is what it is. This guy.
You saw his peak last night. There will be no great metamorphosis for the Bing Bang, whatever you want to call him. No, there's no metamorphosis involved. He's done. Stick a fork in him. I mean, anybody that wants to fight him, put it this way. I think that if he'd have been getting cracked to the body by a 140-pound guy last night, he'd have wilted. He's just not that tough of a man. He doesn't have the mental strength, let alone the physical conditioning. He doesn't have the mental strength. I mean, they used to say that you used to, like, you fight like a sissy or something like that, but sissies fight better than that.
There's been a couple of standout good sissies, so, you know. Emil Griffin.
Yeah,
Emil. And there's been, you know, allegedly Donald Curry, you know, so we can't paint all sissies with the same brush.
Hey, do you know Eric Botcher, the matchmaker? He's a boxing writer as well. Anyway, he worked for Don King and America Presents and just about everybody. I think he's doing something for Top Rank right now. Anyway, he's very homophobic, because he's the most homophobic dude I ever met in my life. Okay. I met him when he was writer for the Gilroy Dispatch Editor in California, but we're together at the International Boxing Hall of Fame up in Canasota, New York. And Emil Griffin is staying next door to us in the room next door. Okay. The exact room next door. And Eric says something like, Emil's gay, right? And I said, man, are you scared of him? Something like blah, blah, blah. And he didn't say nothing. So anyway, he's in the bathtub, and this is in the days when we used to read the New York Post, New York Daily News, New York Times, Newsday, all that kind of good stuff, had all the newspapers. So he's reading newspapers in the bathroom, and he heard somebody knock on the door. It was the maid. The maid was asking me if she can come in and clean the house, clean the room. And I said, no, right now. So he said, hey, who was at the door? I said, it's Emil. He's coming in to talk to you. Anyway, boom, you hear all this noise, like a riot going on in the bathroom. Bam, water. Anyway, he opens up the door. He's got a towel wrapped around him, okay, in his bathroom with a towel wrapped around him. He's furious, isn't it? There's more water on the floor than there was in the bathtub. And there was no Emil Griffith. That's how homophobic Eric was. Scared to death of a gay guy.
Normally the guys that are the most homophobic tend to be...
Are the wide receivers.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, whenever you hear like a dude just homophobic and over-the-top gay bashing, he might be self-hating.
Good point.
But anyway.
So what's on your mind, Mr. PhD? This is a rare Sunday appearance for you. Of course, Socrates Palmer, our boxing PhD, is usually the star of the Saturday edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. There are two editions, live on WBC TV. Of course, that's twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. Of course, live on Ring Talk Radio, which is live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, and SiriusXM Satellite, like 1,000 other internet platforms, both live and delayed. But he's the star of the Saturday show. This is the Sunday show. And I wanted to pick your brain. What's on your mind?
Well, we got to talk about what happened last night, or therefore what didn't happen last night. You know, Canelo Alvarez, it was a nice showcase. You know, you kind of expect a guy in Yildirim who's going to receive his career high payday to give some sort of an effort to win the fight. But he didn't get that.
The poor guy was so scared and frightened sitting there on the, I've questioned people that have been scared, that have been, victims of violent crimes and this and that. I mean, that's what he looked like to me sitting on that stool, me in the police station interviewing some lady that was a victim of some sexual assault or violent crime. I mean, he was terrified.
I think there would have been a lot of other places he'd rather have been than in the ring in front of Canelo Alvarez last night. And credit to his promoter. You know, for saving him, you know, cause it wasn't Joel Diaz who stopped the fight. That's the guy who I felt worse for. You know, Joel Diaz, who's had a pretty good career as a trainer. And then, you know, he got stuck with this stiff last night. Props to Emmett Owner for saving his man to probably dust him off and fight him again in Europe, hopefully.
Yeah, but everybody has an Al Blue Lewis on their resume, or one or two. And when you're the pound for pound guy, I mean, here's what's up. You call this guy a stiff. I agree. Probably he was a stiff. But when you look at the fact he beat a guy with a belt the last time, he's going to fight Saunders with a belt the next time, he's going to fight three more times this year. I mean, what more do you want out of a boxing superstar? Jermell Charlo won't fight him. I mean, Jermell Charlo, I gave him all the letters for Canelo's name, and he couldn't spell it.
I agree. Hey, listen, what last night was just a showcase, and I have no problem with Canelo taking a cupcake every once in a while, because his resume is, you know, beyond reproach. I mean, there's no fighter outside of Pacquiao, out of the active group, that has fought the caliber of fighters he's fought. So, and then right away, you know, Eddie Hearn, you know, to kind of rinse out the nasty stench in your mouth, he gives you the fight announcement of him and Billy Joe Saunders, which you hope it's going to be a much more competitive fight than you got last night, and it will be, because Billy Joe Saunders is a really good fighter.
The question I've got to ask you, the $64,000 question I've got to ask you about last night's broadcast on DAZN was there a little bit too much of Ryan Garcia with no socks?
Yeah, he had the Papi Chulo look down packed. Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm sure, you know, the Gucci loafers, I'm sure, probably cost, you know, more than the Nikes that I have on right now. But, it was a little overkill. And there wasn't much substance, you know, it was just a lot of fluff. I mean, they talked about the Manny Pacquiao fight falling through.
Quite simply.
Not one mention of the other contenders.
Quite simply, he was just shucking and jiving. I mean, that's all Ryan Garcia was doing last night, was like having some fun, being on TV, getting his name out there. Of course, all the girls like him, this and that. But he will have to fight Devin Haney or somebody 135 pounds. The Reynoso people want him to stay at 135 and forget Manny Pacquiao. Who is next for him? Make a prediction. Look into your crystal ball. Who's going to be next for him?
I would have to say either Haney or Linares. I probably think it's going to be Linares.
I don't want to hear Linares. I want to hear Haney. I want to see Haney. Listen, I want to see if Haney can fight. Haney talks a good game. Let's see if he can really fight. Anyway, go back to Sebastian. Go back to Mrs. Palmer. Give her my best. I take you away from her not once but twice this week. So thank her. Let me thank her for your time.
I appreciate it. The pleasure's mine. And enjoy the rest of your Sunday, sir.
You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, come to you live on Twitch.tv. Sports Byline USA is the channel. We call it WBC TV. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. My name is Pedro Fernandez, but by now you should know that.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You ask me how well did he fight, I don't know. But I can tell you one thing, he punched good.
The guitar of the mighty Jeff Tamalier. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, MMA, of course, a.k.a. WBC TV. We take it to Las Vegas, Nevada, bringing the heavyweight champion of artists, folks. I kid you not, he is the official artist for the International Boxing Hall of Fame and has been since he was 23 years old. We're talking about a genius in Richard Sloan. How are you doing, my brother?
Pedro, how are you, man? So good to speak to you, man. And that's very kind of you to say, man. That's far too kind.
Well, no, I mean, well, come on. Listen, I'll tell you like this. Whether you want to believe it or not, Leroy Neiman may have had a bigger name, but people don't know who Leroy Neiman is nowadays. They know who you are because when they see these artistic drawings you put together on the covers of various magazines or programs or working with these promoters and this and that, I mean, you're the undisputed heavyweight champion, bar none.
Well, thank you very much, man. It means a lot. It's always been a passion and a goal of mine and just something. You know, there's not a whole lot of money in it, but it's like you say, be careful what you wish for, man. And I always wish to be involved in boxing my whole life, and I'm closing in on 50 now. I'm 47, and it's been a great ride, man. And it's an honor to paint these wonderful champions and to be on radio shows and do interviews with guys like you that are thoroughbreds, man. Boxing runs through your veins as it does mine, and it's an absolute honor to be in your presence.
In 2011, former heavyweight champion Joe Frazier died at the age of 67. Now, he and I didn't have a wonderful relationship. I mean, we had an okay relationship, but that all depended on whether he was drinking or not. And so, in other words, I've tended to point a negative picture of him on the show at certain times. Tell me about Joe Frazier. You were with him tight. You knew him. I didn't know him.
It's unfortunate you didn't know him, because if you knew him, your views of him would be impeccable. You and I have had so many mutual friends in boxing, and it seems like we get along with the same kind of guys, and we're the same kind of people, and we have the same kind of integrity.
Time out. You mean honest people?
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
go on, Richard. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we had to talk honestly.
No. You're 100%, and that's why I know Joe would have loved you, and you would have loved Joe. And it's just unfortunate that you're an Ali guy, man. I gotta call it like I see it. You're an Ali guy, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Ooh.
There's nothing wrong. Yeah, man. We're Ali, you're crazy here, man. But there's nothing wrong with that. But Joe was one of the most wonderful human beings I've ever met. And I'm not, you know me, I'm not, well, your producer told me I can't do any cursing, but
you're not a kiss butt.
I'm not a BS, right? Okay, right, okay. Right.
Here's what's up,
guy, man. And he had a drink here and there, but there is a misconception that he was an alcoholic. He took medication for his high blood pressure, and he wasn't supposed to drink at all with it. Every time he'd go in a bar, and he liked to go in the bar, he liked to enjoy life. He liked to hang out with the ladies and everybody buying a champ a drink.
Anyway,
he loved to enjoy life, man.
Let me tell you this. In 1970, I would take that back. He destroyed Eddie Machen's career. Eddie Machen had one arm. He had a torn rotator cuff. And Don Targan sold Eddie Machen out and put him in with Joe Frazier. I think I was at the Olympic Auditorium somewhere down there in L.A. So anyway, he destroys Eddie Machen. In 1970, Eddie Machen pulls me off some kid in a street fight. And that sort of like got my little boys club thing going there, little smokers and that kind of good stuff. But Eddie was destroyed by Joe Frazier. And then Ali and Joe Frazier fight, and I say to myself, well, you know, he destroyed Eddie, you know, Eddie's not Ali, blah, 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 blah. And then I watched Joe Frazier fight Muhammad Ali, and it was the strongest exhibition of mental strength I've ever seen in my entire life.
I agree. Well, firstly, let's give credit to Eddie Machen. Great fighter. Joe had a lot of respect for him. And one of the first phone calls when Joe died, and I was answering the phone in his high rise, off the parkway in Philadelphia. And it was Eddie Machen's family. So much respect to the Machens. And I know, if he got you in the boxing, he did a good job with your 4 times golden gloves. But back to the big fight.
He liked my mother.
I don't know if he trained you or whatever, but obviously he was an inspiration and obviously a good man and a good family, because they literally were the first people followed, believe it or not, by Angelo Dundee. I mean, as I was on the phone with Mason's people, the thing was, and it was Angelo Dundee. And Angelo was the second guy to call, and then it just started flooding in. I mean, this is all within, I don't know how they knew, it's within an hour of Joe passing.
You know, I will say this, you know, I mean, I'll say it again, the mental strength, the will, I've never seen anybody will themselves like that. I just can't, and you know, when I try to describe it to other people, and they say to me, what was the, I said, it was Joe Frazier's first fight with Muhammad Ali. That was the most brutal exhibition of mental strength I've ever seen in my life, exhibited by one man. And people say to me, huh? See, they didn't get it. But you know, I mean, He could have went 30 rounds that day.
He could have, man, and he would have, and I think he would have laid his life on the line, and it's it gets thrown around a lot this term, but guys like that, these warriors, these guys that just have it in them. I mean, he would have sacrificed everything to come out of that ring as the victor, and which he did do. And to me, it was his finest hour, and it was something that I don't think we'll ever see again. The climate of the fight with the social climate with Vietnam and everything that was going on. I mean, just the build up to the fight was unbelievable, and it just hit every atom of Joe's body was there to fight. And he said a prayer. Yeah, he said a prayer before the fight. He said a prayer, and Marvin asked him, she said, you know, Pop, what did you pray that night? And he said, I asked the Lord, if I kill this MFA, will he forgive me? And the Lord said, yes.
Well, Ali said, you can't beat God. And he said something like that, and Joe had a nice response, well, God, you're taking an ass whipping here tonight. Anyway.
Yeah, you're in the wrong place tonight.
Yeah, Joe Frazier.
Don't you know I'm God? Yeah. Joe said, you're in the wrong place tonight, God. And, yeah, that's how Joe was, you know, and they made history, man. I mean, you want to talk about records, 300 million people watch the fight live throughout the world.
The entire world stopped. I kid you not. 32-4-1, of course, 27 KOs, a former world heavyweight champion, 1964 Olympic gold medals. Now we've got somebody on the line. I guess you set this up right on. Chester Pellerman was the assistant trainer of Joe Frazier. Mr. Chester, wow. How are you today, sir?
I'm good. Man, how you doing?
Oh, somebody's got a computer on in the background. You got to turn that down.
Okay.
Is this?
I'm fine.
Well, this is the great Lester Pellerman. Lester Pellerman, not Chester. Les was, man, he was in the corner that night. He was in the training camp. This is unbelievable.
Okay. Lester Pellerman. Now, Lester, what do you remember most about that night?
The win. What a fight that was that night.
Did you ever see a guy more mentally strong in your entire life than Joe Frazier that night?
I never seen a guy through the whole training camp when I worked with Joe Frazier. He was in shape.
I mean, it was. I mean, I don't think you could. He just couldn't be denied. I mean, it was amazing. You know, people talked about the 15th round and him knocking Ali down in the 15th round. Ali told me the 15th round wasn't too much of a problem. He said that 12th round, he said Joe knocked him into another zip code. You there, Lester? I think we lost Lester. Anyway, back to Richard. Go on.
Yeah, Les was there throughout it all, man. And fight fans will recognize him. It's in the picture. He was holding the ice pack on Joe after the fight. And
are you there?
Yeah, we are. Lester, are you there?
Okay, Les. Can you hear me?
Yeah, but you got a computer going on in the background, man, and that's what's blowing your mind. Is that you're hearing yourself 7 seconds later,
let me talk.
Straight up, you are in Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, MMA. Of course, this is the Sunday edition, hour number two. Of course, we come to you 11 a.m. Pacific time. That's 2 p.m. Eastern time, live each and every Sunday for 2 hours, live on Sports Byline.
Can you hear me now?
Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Yes, sir. That's a lot. That's much better. Now,
Joe,
how could I put this? Joe Frazier was the guy that beat Muhammad Ali the first time, and that was a statement. How come Joe felt disrespected from that point forward? I mean, even after he won, he felt like he had a chip on his shoulder. Wow, what's going on? Lester, you there?
Oh, yeah, but listen, Joe Frazier, he always did, Ali always called Joe names and all, and Joe didn't like that. I remember when we was in New York, we was trying he helped Ali get his license back, and Ali needed money. He gave money on the street, and Ali get the money, and he go to the next TV station. He started talking about Joe. Joe didn't like that. Okay. Joe didn't like that at all.
Well, Lester, I wish you the very best and continued success and good health, and I thank you for spending some time with us today.
Good. Yeah, Richard, good seeing you, Richard. That was my friend.
Nice talking, Les. All the best, brother. God bless.
All right. Thank you so much. Hey, Richard, now you see why I don't like bringing in guys on the third call?
Yeah, but Les was there, man. He's the last survivor of that fight.
I understand that, but when you have all that babble going on in the background, it's kind of something that makes what I'm saying? It takes away from his value. Bottom line is you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, the artist extraordinaire, of course, the undisputed heavyweight champion of artistry in the world of boxing. Richard Sloan is our guest. Of course, he's got his work all over the internet. Of course, you did the last, didn't you do the last Canelo fight, the poster or the program or?
I did, not for last night, but I've done maybe 12 official Canelo fights. I did, I think, 19 of Floyd's fights. So since Leroy, kind of got out of the game, I mean, he was still around, but Leroy did a painting that wasn't accepted, as he was getting older. He didn't have much time to do this, I don't think. And, the promoters at that time called me and said, hey, you know, can you step in? I'd already been doing fight posters and here it is. I look in the mirror and I can see it. And we've had 25 years of published work now. It's, not quite up to your 37 years broadcast, but I tell you, man, we're becoming the old school guys that we once looked up to and they're gone. And that's why it's guys like Les he's the, other than Gene Kilroy, he's the last guy that was in the ring that night.
Totally understood, but you got to prep him next time he comes on. Emmanuel Stewart, I saw a poster of Emmanuel Stewart in the Kronk gym yesterday. And okay, I'm a softie. I cried a little bit. It made me cry. It just did.
Nothing wrong with that, man. It's wonderful how you have a Sports Byline is getting so much publicity here. I see you wearing your Kronk jacket today, man. And that hit me hard too. It's like, here I am, revving up to do a Frazier thing. And then there he is again. Everywhere I look, there's Emmanuel. He had such a big heart and a big place in everybody ever met him. I mean, I know he loved you.
Okay, real quick. Did I ever tell you about the time I broke the fin off his Cadillac?
Nah.
Here's what's up. We're going somewhere and this and that. He's got this fin on the back of this gold 1970 four-door Cadillac. It was a beautiful car, okay?
Yeah.
And I leaned back on it and like, it broke it, right? And I expected him to freak out and he didn't freak out. He said, Pedro, no matter. You know, I'll get it taken care of. It's right on. Anybody else, he would have choked me to death. Anyway, Richard. Go on.
He would have, man. He thought the world of you, and like I said, I just wish you and Joe could have got together because I know you guys would have hit it off.
Well, here's what's
what
up.
A week.
I want you, listen, I got to run up on a hard break here. I want you to thank Lester for me. When we get Lester to come back and to turn down his computer in the background next time, we'll have a great time. We'll talk
story.
Boxing.
Yeah.
We can do it in the next couple of weeks if you want. But the bottom line is
you are
a class act, and I wish you the very best and continued success. Richard Sloan, the man, the undisputed heavyweight champion of boxing artistry, bar none on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it, sports fans. You're listening to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, an exclusive Sports Byline production. That's the baritone sax of the funky doctor himself, Dr. Stephen McKenzie Cooper of Tower of Power. There you have a new special out, 50 Years of Funk and Soul on PBS. Check it out. Tower of Power, rock and rolling for 52 years, and that was shot, I think, in 2018. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it, your inside look into the world of boxing on this day, Sunday, February 28th, and in 1949 in Cincinnati, Ohio, former future heavyweight champion Ezra Charles was in action with a 50-round decision over Joey Maxim. Joey and I knew each other from Las Vegas. Joey was pretty cool. Joey told me he beat Sugar Ray Robinson clean and fair, and it wasn't the heat. As I said, 1961, Barry McGuigan was born. Ali fought on this day in 1962 against Don Warner. But moving things up, man, how about to the day where they rocked and rolled, and there's no doubt about it. Jose Nápoles beat Ernie Inland Indian Red Lopez down there at the L.A. Forum. And I got to say this, he was a creation of Don Chargan. I mean, the promoter Don Chargan, he built all these guys up from L.A. They really were nothing but tough. I mean, Indian Red Lopez, Ernie, Danny Little Red Lopez's brother. I mean, these guys were basically catchers, Mexican catchers. I'm sorry, but that's just the way they were. Once they fought reputable fighters, they could fight back and could had decent styles and jabs and things like that. It was all over for them. So the bottom line is, I thought they were overcreations from the world of Don Chargan. This has been Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. Tyson Fury, 30-0, 21 KOs. Of course, that one draw with Deontay Wilder, which he erased with a obliterating knockout. He's going to take on Anthony Joshua. They just don't know when. Joshua, 24-1, 22 KOs. That's for all the belts. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. I want to thank Richard Sloan. I want to thank Larry Merchant. I want to thank Socrates Palmer. I want to thank Joe Frazier. Of course, the memory of Joe Frazier. I want to thank Lester. Lester was a surprise there, no doubt about that. I want to thank everybody that took part in today's show. And, of course, my producer, the one, the only, the incomparable, Scott Cuddy. Until next time, don't forget, Ring Talk Live Worldwide comes to you 24-7 at Anchor.fm or iTunes or any of those places where you get your podcasts. Once again, Ring Talk Live Worldwide, Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time. My name is Pedro Fernandez. I thank you so much for tuning in to the longest-running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide.